Let's turn to our Bibles to Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, which is the last chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua 24, verse 14 and verse 15. And the topic for my sermon this morning is serving the Lord fearfully. Serving God fearfully. Joshua 24 and verse 14 and 15. Joshua here says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Yes, we have been saved to serve the Lord. The Lord wants us to serve Him. The Lord calls on us to serve Him. But can we really serve the Lord just like that? Is it so easy to serve the Lord? Actually, it is not easy to serve the Lord at all, even if we wanted to. For Joshua told the people here, now you look at verse 19. Joshua told the people here in verse 19, and he said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord. Why? For he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Many a time we think that the Lord is a very forgiving God, isn't He? Isn't it? Is our God a forgiving God? Of course He is. Plenteous in mercy. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is a God of love. He is a forgiving God. But we must also understand that there is another side to the Lord, that He is also a holy God. He is a judge. He punishes sin. And we are told also that He is a jealous God. And this, of course, holy jealousy. That God wants us only for Himself. And that we should have 100% allegiance and loyalty to Him. He will not share His worship with anyone. And we can serve no one else but the Lord. Do we understand this? Many a time we think that it is easy to serve the Lord, without taking into consideration who and what God is. I'm not here discouraging anyone from serving the Lord. But if we want to serve the Lord, we must make sure our hearts are right. Is it so easy to be the king's butler? Is it so easy to be the prime minister's personal secretary? Not easy at all to be in such a position or to have such an occupation. And we want to be servants of the Most High God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do we know what we are talking about? Who do we think we are? Many a time we need to reorder our thinking and our feelings when we approach God. Do we realize how great He is? How holy He is. How big He is and how small we are? Who do we think we are to say we want to serve the Lord? Even the greatest among the prophets, John the Baptizer himself, did not think he was at all worthy or qualified to serve the Lord, not even to untie the shoelaces of the Messiah. And how can we approach God so frivolously today? Yes, the Bible talks a lot about serving the Lord. But before we can serve the Lord, we must possess certain qualifications. And I'm not talking about paper qualifications or credentials. I'm not talking about talents or skills. I'm not talking about eloquence or intelligence. The world looks for all these things. And the problem with the church today really is this. We look at the externals. We look at appearances. And we think that a person is qualified in a worldly and secular way. He is successful in the world, therefore he will be successful in the church. And we shortlist all these people and make them leaders or servants in the church. But we forget what are the Lord's requirements and the Lord's qualifications. And when we do this, when we use the world's methods and the world's ways, we harm the church. We harm the church. Many today say, oh, we want you to serve the church. And it's not a matter of ability. It's a matter of availability, they say. Have you heard that before? Many of us may be available, but is this what the Lord wants from those who want to serve Him? Availability? I submit to you, it's not ability. It is not availability. Here Joshua addresses the nation of Israel. If we want to serve the Lord, what must we be? What must we have? The answer is in verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. So how can we serve the Lord? It's a question we want to ask ourselves this morning. If we want to serve the Lord, we can only do so if we serve Him fearfully. Fearfully. Joshua told the people, fear the Lord. This is the first and foremost requirement. Fear the Lord. And I cannot stress this enough. What is this fear of the Lord? What is fear? Now please know that the word fear here does not simply mean reverence or respect. Many people interpret this word, fear of the Lord. It means to revere the Lord. It means to respect the Lord. Yes, it does mean that. But it is not only that. In fact, the word fear here has a much deeper sense and meaning. In fact, we must take it literally. The word fear here, literally in the scriptures and in the original, has the sense of being frightened, being afraid, being terrified. It is holy terror. We want to serve the Lord. What must we have? We must have this holy terror before Him. Do we fear the Lord? Don't just respect Him. Don't just revere Him. We respect many people, don't we? We honor the King. We revere the King and those in authority. So we have respect for people. God doesn't want just respect and reverence. He wants us to fear Him. Be afraid of Him. Be terrified of the Lord. And until we have this rightful and fearful attitude before God, we cannot serve Him. We cannot. That's what Joshua told the people. You know, today, We have all kinds of false views about God. Do we really know God? Who He is and what He is? There are all kinds of false views about God. Do we really fear Him today? Today we have false views and we treat God and we see Him so unlike how the Bible describes Him and how we should see Him. Today people see God as just, you know, He's like my buddy or my pal. Or God is like my puppy, so cute and cuddly and so nice. Is this your view of God? And some people have all kinds of views. In fact, I can preach a whole sermon on the false views of God today. The romantic view, the superstitious view, the Superman view, the Hollywood view, the Santa Claus view. All kinds of false views about God, warped and distorted. And it's no wonder why, as Christians, with all the wrong views that we hold about God today, and we see Him so wrongly, it's why we fail in our Christian life. We are so defeated. Because we fail to approach Him rightly. A right view of God will lead to a right practice. A right view of God will lead to godly living. Do we know this God whom we worship? What is God? The Westminster Shorter Catechism has a good answer. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness and truth. And how we must know God for who and what He is. And I think the best picture of God and our approach to Him and our fear of Him is found in Isaiah chapter 6. How the Lord by His grace revealed Himself to the prophet Isaiah. And look at how Isaiah responded to God. Being found in His presence. I'll just read to you. You don't have to turn to that passage. But I'll read to you from Isaiah chapter 6, the first 5 verses. And here we read, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings, and twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke." And look at how Isaiah responded. "Then said I, Woe is me! Woe is me!" And here we are, we have a prophet who is speaking. "Woe is me! For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When confronted by the presence and the holiness of God, and when he saw, and when he had a glimpse of God's person and holiness, Isaiah said, "I'm condemned. I'm finished." I'm a nobody. And of course, we know how the Lord, by His grace, cleanse his lips so that he can be God's messenger. And unless we approach God in this way, and Isaiah displayed that fear of God in his heart when he saw the Lord, we cannot serve him. Do we fear God? If we fear God, then we will know him. We will know him. I mean, really know him. How great and how almighty he is, and how powerless and nothing we are. Once we fear God, we will know how to get right with Him. If we want to serve the Lord, we must fear Him. And the first step in fearing God, when we begin to fear God, then we know the way of salvation. Then we will say, Lord, I cannot save myself. I have no strength. I'm a wretched sinner. Undone. I'm a worm and no man even. I deserve eternal judgment, for I've sinned against Thee. I've broken Thy commandments. O Lord, I cannot save myself. Please save me. And if we are able to say this, then that is a sign that we fear the Lord. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. This is the fear of God. And the fear of God will give us knowledge and wisdom. That's why the wise men of Proverbs tell us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that is our first step. We want to serve the Lord. We must first make peace with God. Because God is very angry with us who are born in sin, who live in sin, and in constant pride and rebellion against Him. Until we take this first step, step of faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ who died for our sins on the cross, according to the Scriptures, was buried and on the third day rose from the dead according to the Scriptures, we cannot be saved and we cannot serve God. And I urge you, dear friends, if you still do not know the Lord Jesus, please make peace with Him right now, because if you are still not a believer, you are children of God's wrath. And you will be judged together with Satan and the demons and be cast into the lake of fire for your sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Make sure you are born again. And you can only be born again if you have the fear of God in your hearts. And you cry out to Him, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I am hopeless. I am helpless. My hope is only in Thee. Please help me. Then you will be saved. And then when we are saved, we must keep on fearing God. We must keep on fearing God in our Christian living. Then we can serve Him. And there are many areas of service in the church. And let us not just talk about serving the Lord in preaching or teaching or playing the keyboard or manning the PA system or singing to the Lord in the choir, in managing or planning the activities of the church. Let us not talk about serving the Lord in the church session or fellowship groups or camp committees or anything like this, all these big projects or activities. Let us just talk simply. Let's talk about serving the Lord in a worship service. You know that when you come to church every Lord's Day, you are serving the Lord. Sitting where you are serving the Lord. That's why the worship is called, the Lord's Day worship is called a worship service. You are serving the Lord where you are. With your mind, with your heart, with your voice, with your hands, with your whole being, you are serving the Lord. How do we serve the Lord when we come every Lord's Day? Do we come every Lord's Day and in the worship service fear God? We cannot serve the Lord nor worship Him if we do not fear Him. Come into this sanctuary with the fear of God in our hearts every Lord's Day. Do we fear the Lord? How many of us fear the Lord? How many of us here come late for worship service? If we fear the Lord, we will not want to come late. will come early. I'm meeting the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm so afraid not to be punctual, not to meet him on time. I want to come on time to meet him because he is never late. And I must be here on time. How many of us come with our newspapers instead of our Bibles? How many of us come and we come for worship service thinking about our business, our work, rather than concentrating on the Lord and on his word and worshiping him? How many of us come here to catch up on our sleep? We have not slept enough last night. And so, in the cool comfort of this sanctuary, let me catch up on my sleep. How many of us come here for a free meal after the service? That's the reason why we come. How many come because of friends or people in the church? And for that reason, we are here. How many of us come because we want to be entertained? How many of us come because we want to get some attention from others? How many of us come with selfish reasons? I mean, there are many, many other reasons. Do we come with the right motives, the right purpose? Do we come with selfish reasons? It is all about I, me, and myself. And if that's the case, then we have not feared God. We have not come to worship and worship him fearfully. We cannot serve the Lord. See, we are here to serve the Lord, to worship him. We cannot worship the Lord. We cannot serve the Lord unless we come with the fear of God in our hearts. We are really terrified of the Lord, afraid to displease him, afraid to grieve him. Do we come with that mind and that spirit? Or we take him so lightly? And if we take him lightly, we cannot serve the Lord. And that is why, you know, when there are those who come to church and they come with all their selfish reasons, and so when they are not satisfied, when they don't get what they want, and people don't shower them with attention, they get upset, they leave the church. And then they say, oh, this church is not loving enough. Now those who come to this church, who come because they want their ears tickled, but when the word of God convicts and converts and rebukes them of sin and error, they say, oh, the sermon is so unedifying, because they feel bad. And then they get upset and angry and they leave the church. Please don't think that when we come to church, we are doing God a favor. No. How many of us, when we put our offerings in the bag, oh, I'm doing God a favor. Here, God, there's something for you. We do not fear the Lord as we ought. How we need to fear the Lord in the truest and the fullest sense, or else we cannot worship him. We worship him in vain and we serve him in vain if we do not have the fear of God in our hearts. And if we want to serve the Lord, we must serve him unconditionally. And that's a good lesson I learned from our beloved pastor. I remember he telling us, new students in FEBC, you have come here, you say the Lord has called you, you want to serve him, you must serve him without conditions. You must be totally given over to the Lord, 100% surrender. And this leads us to our next point. We serve the Lord fearfully by serving him sincerely. Joshua told the people to serve the Lord in sincerity. In sincerity. In other words, we must give to the Lord 100%, 100% loyalty and commitment. God does not want half-hearted or double-minded service. any kind of half-hearted, double-minded service is no service at all to the Lord. What is not sincere is hypocritical. Do we offer to the Lord half-hearted, double-minded service? That is hypocritical service, which is no service at all, and the Lord does not delight in such service at all. And that's why Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and the scribes who claimed to serve the Lord, who claimed to serve God, but actually they were serving themselves. And that's why Jesus in Matthew 15, verse 7 and 8, rebuked them, "Ye hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, the people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." The same with the Israelites at this point in time. How the Lord had delivered them by a mighty hand out of Egypt, brought them safely into the promised land, he fought their battles. Now prospering and secure, they want to forget the Lord already. And they say, yes, we want to serve the Lord, we will serve the Lord. But then actually their heart is very far from the Lord, and Joshua knew it. And Joshua told them, you cannot serve the Lord. Because why? You have false gods in your midst. You have not worshipped the Lord wholeheartedly, fully, 100%. That's why Jesus also said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money or any other thing. And those who are lukewarm, half-hearted and double-minded, what did Jesus say? Those who want to be neutral for the Lord. God does not want any neutrality. God wants fervency from us. And Jesus said in Revelation 3, 15 and 16, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And the only way to be deserving of the Lord is to do as he says. Jesus said in Mark 8:34, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. We must be zero. We must be nobody. And then we take up our cross, take up his cross. And the cross is a symbol of suffering and shame. Be willing to suffer and to be despised for the Lord's sake. And then you can follow me. Then you can serve me. The Apostle Paul himself served the Lord sincerely. And look at what he said. For do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. If we want to be men pleasers, we want the popularity of men, the praise of men, then we cannot be servants of God. We disqualify. If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Galatians 1:10. God will never share his worship and glory with any other. And that was why Joshua told the people to put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Is there any idolatry in our hearts and in our lives? We have not yet surrendered to God 100% and fully. We want to serve the Lord, we fear him. And by fearing him and we want to worship him sincerely, then we put away all the gods, whether physical gods or emotional gods, whatever they may be, we must put them all away. If we are double-hearted and we are two-minded in our worship and service of the Lord, then we become double agents. We become adulterers and traitors, and no better than Judas Iscariot. We will eventually betray the Lord. If we serve the Lord with a double heart and a double mind, we become double agents. Unless we are totally and fully loyal to the Lord, 100%. Lord, no matter what, I will always fear Thee. I will never question Thee nor deny Thee. I will always say You are good, no matter what happens in my life. I will always worship Thee and praise Thee, no matter what. Then, and only then, can we serve the Lord. Have we put away all other gods? We must. In order to serve the Lord sincerely, with 100% loyalty and allegiance, and not hypocritically, then we must cultivate in us this virtue, this godly virtue of remembrance. Remembrance. We must not be ungrateful. We must remember the goodness of the Lord in our lives, how He saved us out of darkness into His marvelous light. How He, our Heavenly Father, has provided for all our spiritual and physical needs. God forbid that we should ever forget Him. Do we forget the Lord? At this point in time, the Israelites already were safely in the land, enjoying all the richness of the land that God had promised to them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And already now, safely, you know, established, secure in the land, they're already beginning to forget the Lord. They are beginning to collect all these false gods and idols that they want to worship also. They are now thinking it is evil, not so good to serve the Lord right now. And if we choose this other way, and we think that it's evil now to serve the Lord, it's not profitable for me, it is not advantageous for me to serve the Lord right now, after the Lord has showered us with His blessing, after the Lord has delivered us with a mighty hand, how the Lord has fought our battles and saved us, and we owe Him our whole lot, our whole life, and we now forget all these things. Now it's not good anymore to serve the Lord. Now we have all that we want already. No more advantages to serve the Lord. Doesn't profit me to serve the Lord right now, because now I want to do what I want to do instead of what God wants me to do. And there's no more fear of God. Then Joshua told them, you choose. It's not choosing that which is good and what is better, but choosing between good and evil. And if you now choose that which is evil, you will know this is an unpardonable sin. When we betray the Lord, and God will judge and punish, you choose to walk in the way of destruction. And Joshua knew the good and right way. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, because that's the way to salvation. But, you know, sincerity is not enough. We must serve the Lord fearfully. We must serve the Lord sincerely. But sincerity is not enough, because there are people who may be sincere in wanting to serve the Lord, but they can be sincerely wrong. And that's why the Lord here says, we need to serve Him in truth. We must serve the Lord truthfully. Joshua told the people to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. And when we serve the Lord fearfully, we will want to serve Him according to His rules, according to His commandments, according to His truth. And you ask, what is truth? Now today, this is a good question. What is truth? Pilate himself asked this question, what is truth? And the world today is void of truth. The world today denies there is such a thing as absolute objective truth. We are living in a postmodern world. This world is an agnostic world. No one can know anything for sure. No one knows the truth for sure. And if you are dogmatic and you are insistent and you say, thus saith the Lord, it is written, this is the truth, 100%, walk in it and you will live, depart from it and you will die. You will be persecuted. You will be maligned. You will face great opposition. This is extreme and even heretical. That is the kind of world that we are living today. And this postmodern mindset and philosophy has crept into the church, unfortunately. You say white is white, black is black, that's truth. But if you say white is black, black is white, that is also true. This is the kind of world that we are living today, an uncertain, untruthful, agnostic world. Anything and everything can be the truth. What is truly or really the truth? Do we have any perfect objective standard whereby to measure everything and everything else the world says or what others say and what we should believe in? Indeed, we have. Jesus said this, that God the Father should sanctify us by His truth. And what is His truth? Thy word is truth. The Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures. And God does not play hide and seek with us, dear friends. He wants us to know for sure, for certain, what is His truth. And He has revealed us His truth in His word. The living word, who is Jesus Christ, and the written word, which is the Holy Scriptures. And if we want to serve the Lord fearfully and sincerely, we must serve Him truthfully. In John 8:31, the Lord Jesus says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on Him, if ye continue in My word," if you continue, don't just believe and stop believing, but keep on believing. "And if you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." True Christians know how to worship God sincerely and truthfully. And that's why Jesus said, "But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." The Olympic Games are just round the corner, and already instruments are set in place to make sure that the competitors, they compete according to the rules. No cheating. And if you cheat, you will be disgraced. You will be shamed. You will be disqualified. And if that is the case, even in the Olympic Games, how much more in this spiritual race that we run in? How we must serve the Lord, not according to our own will and way, but according to His will, His way, and not ours, nor the world's. We cannot serve the Lord. We cannot serve the Lord unless we fear Him and fear His commandments and His judgments. How we must believe that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And we thank God that His word is 100% inspired and 100% preserved to the jot and tittle. And if we fear God, we cannot compromise. We cannot dilute this truth, for it is our life. It is our reason. It is our hope. It is our strength. Without the perfect word of God today, we really have no reason to preach, to teach, to live, or to serve the Lord. Do we fear the Lord? Unless we fear the Lord, we cannot serve Him. So let us fear the Lord. Serve the Lord, dear friends, fearfully. Serve the Lord sincerely. Serve the Lord truthfully. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, bless us and help us, we pray. Thou art the King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord, yes, You have saved us. We are Thy children. How we owe our lives to Thee, and we want to serve Thee. But help us, Lord, to serve Thee unconditionally, not with our conditions, not with selfish ambition, or with ulterior motives, but to serve Thee because we are constrained by the love of God. Serve Thee because we love Thee, because we are indebted to Thee, because we are grateful to Thee, because we fear Thee. We fear to displease Thee and to make You sorry or sad. We serve Thee because we want to honor Thee and glorify Thee and do everything to exalt and magnify Thee. Lord, this is our desire. Help us, Lord. Forgive us for the times when we have not done so, not served Thee nor worshipped Thee fearfully. Bless us, Lord. Grant us this fear of God that we must have in our lives today. And bless every worshipper this morning. Teach us from henceforth to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, to fear Thee in our service of Thee. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.